Hiya, and welcome to Intuit, the HuffPost UK entertainment podcast. I'm Daniel Welsh, and as always, I'm here with Rachel McGraw and Ash Percival. And today, we'll be looking into the latest Big Brother controversy, reflecting on some of the most cringy TV breakups, and of course, there's going to be some election chat. So, like, full disclosure, we're recording this before the results of the election have actually come out. So we don't know what's gone down.
I mean, we can hasten to guess.
We've got a fair idea. But we don't know for certain. What we do know is that a lot of celebrities have been voicing their opinions and backing various candidates. We've had Gary Lineker and Lily Allen and Russell Brand for Labour. And Jim Davidson, Katie Hopkins and Rod Stewart for Conservatives. Vivienne Westwood for the Greens.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. She loves the environment.
Great, the environment, all that nature. Trees, lambs and stuff, all that good stuff. What I want to talk about is when it comes to politics and celebrity culture, are there two worlds that shouldn't really mix, or is it a good thing when we get stars piping up about political matters? Don't know why I went into slow motion at the end of that, but what do we think?
I feel me and you are going to have very differing views on this whole situation. And I'm just like, I don't know if I want to say anything.
Well, I think it's a really good thing, perhaps predictably. One of the things that has been really good this year, you've had like the whole grind for Corbyn thing with people like Stormzy and Jamie coming out. And they've actually encouraged so many young people to vote, which I just think can only be a good thing, really. Like, I think for a lot of people, if you feel kind of disenfranchised and you feel like you're not involved in the political conversation, seeing somebody that you really like or you really admire or that you listen to encouraging you to get involved could actually have a really good effect.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I definitely agree with you. But as, you know, moderator of this podcast, I should ask, should it really come down to celebrities to be the people to get young people involved? Like, we know there's a problem with young people not voting. Like, the EU referendum was the only thing that we've actually had young people coming out for in a long time. But, you know, if politicians aren't engaging young people, why should it fall to celebrities rather than the people who are actually supposed to be doing it?
I don't think it's necessarily that it should fall to them, but I just think that we've kind of found ourselves in a place where it has. And at the end of the day, like, who are you going to listen to more? A politician who you think is absolutely completely removed from your world and from your life, or
Stormzy.
A performer or Stormzy who you've been to see, who you respect and who you admire? Like, you're going to listen to the person you can relate to more, and not many politicians are very relatable.
That is true. A lot of people view politicians as being sort of, but maybe it's not even unrelatable, but just very out of touch and very passé, as opposed to, you know, young current people. Like, Stormzy is somebody that we've mentioned a few times. He's been back in Jeremy Corbyn. Rag and Bone Man, who I know not everyone's a fan of on this podcast, i.e. nobody is, but he was the Brit's Critics' Choice, and he's come out and encouraged young people to vote and encourage them to get engaged, so that's good. Ash, I feel like you've got a different opinion and I would like to hear what it is.
So I do agree with what Rachel's saying, that I think it's good that young people are being encouraged to vote. And I do agree that a lot of people are disenfranchised with politics, and particularly politicians that sit in their kind of ivory towers looking over us all. But I just think, in terms of like this celebrity world that we live in, I love celebrity because it's just pure escapism. Like, I don't sit and listen to Adele or watch Love Island because I think, oh, what are these people going to tell me to do and vote in the general election? Like, I just find it all very tiring. Like, I go on social media and I see constantly, like, my friends talking about politics. I don't want to listen to them talk about it, let alone, like, people that I don't know. And that's not to say that I'm not political, that I don't care. But I think when that conversation's being had, like, everywhere, I think we still need a space to be able to go and sort of get away from all of that stuff.
Are they talking about the election on Love Island?
Sadly not.
Well, there's your space.
And I did actually, I went to Love Island last week. And
Double clunk.
And I did actually ask some of the contestants if they were going to vote in the general election or had sent their postal votes already. And some had. Some weren't even aware that there was an election, and some didn't care.
Did some of them honestly not know that there was an election?
No. I'm not going to name names, mainly because I can't remember them. But
Can you please tweet the names later? Because I'm very interested in which Love Island stars didn't know there was an election.
Yeah, some didn't know.
But see, that's the thing. I think people should know that there's an election. Like, I don't think it's elitist of me to say that I think people should know that there's an election. And so if people aren't talking about the election on Love Island, and people exist who don't know that there's an election, then yeah, I think it's probably a good thing that they're going to go on Twitter and see a singer tweet. You know, they need, if people need to find out somehow, then I'm glad that they're going to find out.
I don't think famous people have to do it. And I would never say like, oh, they should be talking politics. But when you see somebody who's using their position in the public eye to do something like encouraging young people to vote, that deserves praise, I think.
I think there's this expectation, though, that I know you say that you don't think that there is an obligation to it, but I think you're kind of in the minority of people that do like people that talk about politics, because I think there is this expectation that they should and that they have to. Whereas I'm not of the school of thought that just because they've been given a platform that they have to, like, they have to spout everything for good. Like,
but you did go to Love Island and ask them all about the election.
Well, someone else actually asked them. It wasn't actually me.
Because that is kind of like the same thing.
Also, I was interested in on a personal point of view.
Well, there you go then. It's like there is an interest. Like,
but also, if, let's say, I mean, I don't want to name names because certain people have backed certain candidates and certain people haven't. But let's say you're like a million-selling singer, and you, in your personal life, have strong political views, are you not a hypocrite if you don't then go out and, you know, the people who are looking to you, and I'm not talking about people who are, you know, down the lower end, I'm talking about A-list stars who could really make a difference, who could really make or break an election. Are they not, you know, should they not feel a little bit responsible doing that thing?
No, I don't think so. Like, we all have political views. Remove, like, celebrity from the equation. We all have our individual beliefs. And not everyone will go around, like, saying what they think the whole time. Like, and I just think just because they've got this status, they've not asked for the social responsibility that comes with selling records. Like, they might have just wanted to get up on a stage and sing. Like, you don't have to attach social responsibility to that.
Yeah, I agree. But if these people do have, like, strong political beliefs, I'm not talking about people who don't, you know, these Love Island people. I'm not saying that people who go on Love Island should have to be engaged and should have to whatever. I mean, I do think they should know that there's an election, but they don't have to be, in, you know, they don't have to be interested in it. But I just think it's important that, you know, in a democracy, everybody who can should know. But, you know, if let's say you're a singer and you don't like Tim Farron. No, let's say you're a singer and you do like Tim Farron and he isn't elected prime minister. And, you know, afterwards you're like, oh, that's a shame. Is that person not a hypocrite for not singing beforehand?
I don't think they're a hypocrite. I just think it depends on the person that you are and whether you decide to publicly do that or not.
Yeah, I think as long as you vote,
if you're choosing to, you know, if you're choosing to keep that view like to yourself and you want to keep it separate from your professional life, then totally fair enough. You might feel some personal guilt. You might feel like, oh God, if I'd said something, maybe I could have helped his campaign. But I don't think that it makes them a hypocrite.
I want to put one more thing to you before we move on. Do we think that celebrities getting political and backing certain things actually works?
Well, I just look at the US election where Hillary Clinton had the support of all of these, like, wonderful people, Katy Perry, massive A-list stars, lots of, like, fantastic, inspirational people, and she didn't win.
She didn't. And I think... but it is still good to get people engaged because I think... I'm going to mention the EU referendum again. Loads of celebrities were tweeting about that, and fair enough, it didn't go in the way that a lot of the celebrities who were tweeting wanted, but they did get all them young people to go and vote. So in a way it was a victory, and in another way it was not. And I guess it's the same with Hillary Clinton. You know, these people who were influenced by the stars went out and voted. It's just that ultimately they didn't
but
get what they wanted.
But then I do think as well, like, if you're at the point where you're being that influenced by what a celebrity says and you've not looked into the actual, like, if you've not sat through and thumbed through the, what do you call it?
No one reads the manifestos, Ash.
Yeah, but, like, you shouldn't be relying on celebrities to just purely get, like, one... Because all you're getting is one side of the story. You should be fully informed on all aspects of all the parties.
Like, but if that's what it takes to open someone's eyes to it, if it's, like, Katy Perry talking about Hillary Clinton that makes you look at it, like, obviously in an ideal world from that point, someone would then, like, examine things a little bit more. But if that's what turns you onto it in the first place...
Also, let's not say Katy Perry. Let's say somebody, like, a bit smaller scale, like someone like Katie Price, who is very, like... No, seriously, she's very personable. She was a single mother for a long time. She's got a disabled young son. If she were to endorse a candidate, people know her. So if you can't, you know, not if you can't be bothered, if you're too busy to read everybody's policies, but you see Katie Price go, I'm supporting XYZ, and you know, you've got a young disabled child, or you've been divorced 3 times, or you won Celebrity Big Brother 1 time, and you can relate to her, then it's like, okay, cool. Well, I don't necessarily have time to read all of these things, but I know that this person who I trust.
Yeah. See, I think that's kind of dangerous.
But what if, you know,
I don't think you should be putting all that trust in what one person thinks.
But you, that's politics, that you though. That's literally politics. You have to put all of your trust in one person.
But also, again, what if I was to ask you and Rachel what you thought of the election? Like, who, you know, at what point do you... Like, if I was unsure, at what point do I go, right, I've asked 20 people, now I need to go and whatever, who I care about?
I don't know. For me, it's like I've never been swayed by what other people think, so it's difficult for me to be like...
I think there's a different thing, though, between being swayed what other people think and having people say things that you, like, listen to. Like, Katie Price might come out and say, well, I support this party because... they would help my family in this way or this way. And it's not that you're being like, oh, well, Katie Price thinks that, so I think that as well. It's that you're kind of just being, well, oh, she's said some things there that are new to me that I didn't know.
It's not like I saw Regina George wearing army pants and flip-flops, so I bought army pants and flip-flops. Yeah. Although I am currently wearing army pants and flip-flops. So.
I think it's, well, just from a PR perspective, I think it's quite, sometimes I think it's quite dangerous for celebrities in terms of their own, like, reputation and their own sort of, can't think of the word, cut this out. Sometimes I think it's like quite dangerous for celebrities to speak about politics because they risk like alienating some parts of their fan base by doing so. So they're putting their sort of their career on the line by sort of like speaking about politics. So I kind of think, well, it's up to them really if they talk about it and what they're choosing to influence on, I think.
I mean, yeah, it's up to everyone, isn't it? We'll draw a line under that one because, frankly, we've been speaking for about 20 minutes and we've got about 10 other things to get through, including the latest Big Brother controversy. So it did not take long for the United Kingdom of Big Brother to hit its first snag. And the series only started less than a week ago. And already, people have unearthed some homophobic tweets from not just any housemate, but the people's housemate, Tom Barber. So these tweets were posted... not to be confused with build producer Tom Barber. Different Tom Barber. So these tweets were posted between 2013 and 2016. And the most recent one in which he used like quite a glaring homophobic slur was February 2016. That was the most recent tweet. So a lot of people who watch the show are calling for him to be removed. They're saying that Big Brother should be more responsible and should do more research into who they get involved on the show. But what do we think? Should he face consequences because of things that he tweeted years before he went on Big Brother? Or is it all in the past and it's not related to what is going on with him right now?
So it's interesting because I actually didn't know the dates on that. So that's the first time I was aware of the story, but it's not the... Sorry, it's the first time I actually knew that the most recent tweet he sent was only just over a year ago. So that's kind of like changed my mind of what I was actually thinking about it. Because
okay, well, what was your initial
thought? Because my initial thought was, you know, the first tweet was sent, I knew it was about 4 years ago. Yeah. And I thought, you know what, 4 years, he's a young lad, 4 years is a long time in terms of growing up, getting to know the world a bit better, people can change. But in terms of it, a year ago, he's now a man in his sort of mid-20s?
Well, I'll just stop you there. He's 21. Right. So he was 17 when these tweets were sent.
Okay,
he was between 17 and 20 when the tweets
were sent. I mean, that's no excuse. Like, it's no excuse, but you think about 17-year-olds and the growing up that you do, you meet a lot of different people, you change a lot of your opinions. So I kind of think to judge him purely on tweets that were sent 4 years ago would be strong. Not necessarily wrong, but strong. But I think to judge someone on a tweet they sent a year ago is... you know what, not much changes in 12 months.
I agree. I mean, we had a similar discussion a few weeks ago with Chris Clark from TOWIE and whether, because he was in a similar position, tweets from years ago, and we agreed, we said things that we've all tweeted things that if they were to come back now, they would be bad and we would look hypocritical. That's fair to say, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know that I have never tweeted anything of that calibre.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's literally about myself. Like, I know I have never tweeted that word unless I'm describing myself. Like, do you know what I mean? So that's the thing, is that I know there are... I'm not going to sit here and say that everything that I've ever tweeted, I stand by. Everything I've ever posted on social media, I completely agree with in 2017. But I can confidently say that I have not said anything of that nature. But so if he is, so Ash, you disagreed with your initial comment that he shouldn't have any consequences. What do you think should happen now?
So I was thinking
big,
about
okay,
this.
Just stop and say, by the way, Big Brother, we contacted them and they declined to comment. So there we go. So they obviously got no to say on that matter.
So I was thinking about this and Tila?
Have you been on the tequila?
No, hard to say. Tila Tequila was thrown out of the Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother house about 2 years ago now because it was unearthed that she'd sent Nazi supporting tweets on social media. And I kind of think this is of a similar level. So, you know, if they're gonna set a precedent on that kind of stuff, they should be applying it to all aspects. Be like, if we're unearthing stuff on your social media accounts that's upsetting and offending people, and we've removed one previous person for doing it, they should be removing other people for the same.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a very kind of one rule for one rule for the other situation. I don't think, and this is as a gay person, I don't think that what he wrote was as bad as Tila Tequila literally supporting Adolf Hitler and saying that he was a misunderstood genius. Yeah, no, right? And then she went on Big Brother.
Why?
Well, the thing about that is, though, that all of that was already common knowledge. And then they put her in, and then they changed their minds. So that's another thing
that's
altogether,
thing,
is that
it?
That was already on her Wikipedia page. When we wrote the article that she was going in the house on HuffPost UK, literally, we included these things that she'd said in the past, saying, oh, she's obviously a very divisive figure. And then lo and behold, Big Brother were like, oh, we've only just become aware of this. That's different to what we're actually talking about, though. What I think should happen personally is that he should have to answer to this because fans are pissed off about it. I don't know whether he should be thrown out. I don't know whether he should be punished or anything. I think the best thing to do would be literally get him in the diary room and say, look, we found this. What do you think?
I think so. I hadn't really thought as much about how it would work. But this is the other thing with Big Brother is like, what he said is absolutely not okay, but there are people who think things like that, and there are people who say things like that out there, and I think it could really do some good to see that challenge.
That's the other thing, isn't it?
On national television, because if you remove him, yeah, that's great, and you've got rid of him, but at the end of the day, he's not the only person in the world to have said something this offensive.
No, and what you're going to get is people going, oh, I have this opinion, and I'm obviously just going to be silenced. It's PC gone mad, and it can work against them.
You need to challenge him on it, and you need to kind of, you know, Big Brother is, they've kind of gone back to it this year. It is a social experiment. It's people from different walks of life with different views, and not all of those views are going to be pleasant. I don't think you should give them a platform to kind of, you know, shout about those things, but in the situation they've got now, they could really use it as a chance
to
challenge
them. Don't have to change the format to do that, because actually at the moment he's in a position of power in the house where he's got contact with the outside world, so they wouldn't even have to break the fundamental rule of Big Brother bring him up on this topic. They wouldn't have to say, right, well, you know, we've broken the outside rule contact rule, what do you think of these tweets? They could literally go to him and say, this story has come out in the press, what's your response?
I mean, also, if his response was, well, yeah, I said that, I was joking around with my friends, then my response would be, all right, well, I'm not interested in giving you any more time because you're dreadful. But if you know, he is still, I mean, yeah, what he said.
21 is really young. Like, what he said is really bad. But Big Brother can be a learning experience
Well,
it can, and like, this is very idealistic, but, you know, giving him the chance to kind of see why what he said is wrong and kind of go on a bit of a, like, journey, if you like, could actually be a really good thing.
Yeah, and again, I wouldn't necessarily want him to become like the people's princess just because he's now no longer homophobic, but also I would rather see someone on television be talked to and, you know, explain why certain things are wrong, why certain things are harmful, why certain things shouldn't be said, and then like comprehend it and grow from it and learn from it and be a better person, rather than just like, because of this, you're gone. And then have him a week later finally get his Twitter page back and go, well, I still hate gays, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's...
There's ways they could turn it into a positive.
That's just you all over, Rachel, isn't it? Looking for the positive.
Such a ray of sunshine.
All right, well, we're on the subject of reality TV. The last thing I want to talk about today is this really embarrassing moment on first dates. So there were two gentlemen on a date meeting for the first time. And fairly early on, one said to the other, Ash, I'm going to call on you to do this because Ash has been doing this for about a week in the office. And so
It's been 2 days. It only aired on Tuesday.
Feels like a week. But anyway, this is your time to shine, pet. So this is what John told Greg.
I don't find you attractive.
I don't find you attractive. Stunning. So he then turned to him and said, what's the point in staying for a main course, urging him to leave, then sat down and finished his own meal. Told the guy to piss off because he didn't fancy him, then sat down. Rachel, you look horrified.
This is horrible.
Have you not heard this story?
Sat down and had a steak dinner, didn't he?
Sat down and finished his own steak dinner.
The other dinner was just
worse than that. The steak dinner hadn't arrived at the point. He then made the conscious decision to stay and have the steak dinner.
And didn't he make the other guy pay the bill?
Yeah, you made him pay his half at the start.
Well, you have to pay on first date.
Yeah. I did think
You only get a 25 quid per head allowance, and anything you spend over that, you have to pay for.
Oh, I haven't a lot.
That's not going to cover drinks, is it? Not in St. Paul's. Anyway, we're straight from the point, but obviously that was a very embarrassing moment for John and Greg. Obviously,
John more so.
I was going to say, one came out looking slightly better than the other. But when you're both on telly, is there ever a right way to dump someone? And I'd like to illustrate this by referencing some of our favourite television and film breakups.
See, I think the right way, I'm just going to read as a way that makes for good television.
Oh.
Because I don't think that there is a right way. You can't do it in a nice way.
No, breakups are always shit.
It's not happening. They're always shit. So you might as well.
Whether you've been together for 6 years or whether you've literally just met on first dates and you tell them to piss off so you can finish your steak in peace. A line I've used myself many times.
But one of my favourites, the classic, is The Googe, Lauren Goodger, on Towie, pushing Mark into the pool.
Well, that was brilliant because that was an empowering moment.
It was amazing. And then my other favourite one is GC, Gemma Collins. You ain't getting any of this to Arj.
Any of this candy.
Any of this candy.
Yeah, you're not getting any of this candy.
Just, yeah, they were just amazing.
Lauren Goodger especially, pushing him in the pool.
It was iconic.
Because he had a pool party and not invited her. And he'd invited all of his friends because I could be wrong, so forgive us, Lauren. I'm sure it was because he thought she was going to get too pissed and embarrass him. So what did she do?
Which is probably true, to be fair, in hindsight.
Oh, do you know what? If you can't handle her at her fabulous drunk in the Celebrity Big Brother
I
pool...
I knew you were
going to do it.
And she's waving her arms around.
And then eventually came out of a bikini top or whatever it was.
And then got called to the diary room for having a wee in it and pretending she'd joke.
Oh, my God. Lauren Goodger pacing in the Big Brother pool and then pretending she had.
She got an official warning over that.
Do you know what? Summer of Legends, bring Lauren Goodger back.
The best bit was when she was in the diary room and they were like, so Lauren, this happened, didn't it? And then it flashed back, so we saw it happening, and then it cuts to her and she's like,
I'm having a wee in the pool.
But no, that was it. Also, just to clarify, you didn't actually see her weeing in the pool, you just saw her saying, I'm having a wee in the pool.
But then it cut back to the diary room and she's like, No, I didn't know about that.
That's amazing.
Really strayed from the topic.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Ash, you mentioned a really good reality breakup earlier that I wanted to bring
up. One of my fondest ones is who remembers Chanel and Ziggy from Big Brother?
Yes.
Ziggy.
So for those that don't, Chanel was the Victoria Beckham lookalike who fell in love with Ziggy, who was, I think, from like some Northern Star?
Northern Line. I used to have a Northern Line pen because they supported Steps on tour.
Oh, there you go. And then after about a
Stationary fact.
I think they were together about 3 weeks.
Yes.
And then eventually he sat her down in the bathroom, I seem to remember, and just sort of cozied her up on the sofa and just turned to her and went, so Chanel, it's not you, it's me. And she just lost her shit.
Well, yeah, I mean, her words were, I can't believe you've just said it's not you, it's me. On TV. And she was right, because she looked like a right mug, but not as much of a mug as him.
It was very painful to watch and very real television.
I think the worst way to get dumped on reality TV is your mum coming in through a clock.
Oh my
while
God.
While everybody else is frozen to the spot and sitting you down on the sofa and telling you that the guy that you really fancy has mugged you off. He's mugged you off, darling. It's what Casey Batchelor's mum said to her on Celebrity Big Brother.
Please, can you just reenact this in full? Because I feel like the listeners need it in their lives as much as we do.
He says one thing, and then he goes in the diary room and says, you get on his tits. He's mugged you off, darling. It was fantastic. That was Lee Ryan from Blue.
Didn't she then turn to Jim Davidson and say something?
Yeah, but what she said was like, you're right, Jimbo. Yeah. Thanks for looking after my daughter, which you don't want. Nobody needs that in their lives.
That was iconic. That really was iconic.
That was fabulous.
But for anyone who's watching Love Island at the moment, which I am avidly, I feel a kind of a similar situation is kind of unfolding at the moment. So there's this girl called Montana who bagsied this guy called Dom when he came in.
Bagsied him. Oh, God.
But now this girl, Jessica, has come in and Dom has kind of been stolen by Jessica. Montana is not taking it well at the moment. And I feel... we are a few days away from some sort of meltdown when Dom tells her categorically that he's no longer interested. So I keep your eyes peeled for that one because I think it's one to watch.
Do you know what, Ash? I won't. And moving on. We're going to end on a quiz. Now, obviously, there's quite a lot of political matters going on in the United Kingdom right now. As previously discussed, we don't know how things have ended. So in case you're wondering why we're still speaking in like the future tense, that's why. So I've got some numbers here. You're going to randomly choose one and each number corresponds to a question. Who's up first?
I'm going to go first.
That's good because you're closest to us. Right, dig deep, Ashley.
The box is back. Do I say the number?
Yeah.
It's number five.
Number five. Which guitarist featured on Dabby's number two single, Rockstar, and Lady Gaga's number 23 single, You and I?
Which guitar player?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I've got no idea, and I feel like I should know that, because I like that Gaga song. Yeah, I don't know.
Correct answer is Brian May, not to be confused with Theresa May, current leader of the Conservative Party.
I knew.
Possible Prime Minister.
This is the way it was going to go.
I knew I should have taken the second question. Then I would have been aware of the loose, tenuous connection.
Rachel, what number?
Okay,
I've got
number two.
Number two.
I'm sorry, can I just rewind a second? Brian May and Dappy collaborated on a single together.
Yeah, hit number two in the UK singles chart. Check it out.
What was the song called?
Rockstar. Which former High School Musical actor was reported in 2016 to have the third most translations of his page on Wikipedia following Jesus Christ and Barack Obama?
I know who this is.
High School Musical.
And I know the connection.
Former High School Musical actor was reported in 2016 to have the third most translations of his page on Wikipedia.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of politicians whose names overlap with famous people's.
I would go the other way. I would think about High School Musical stars.
I don't know that many.
I believe you wrote the story about this on HuffPost UK.
Did I?
I think so. We certainly had a long conversation.
Okay, I literally only know one person. Is it Zac Efron?
It's not Zac Efron, I'm afraid. Ash, I'm going to throw this over to you.
Is it Corbyn Blue? As in Blue, the Conservative Party?
Oh my God.
Ash, no, it's Corbyn Blue, as in Jeremy Corbyn, leader of the Labour Party.
Oh.
Oh my God, I cannot believe you just said that.
So you technically get a point, but I feel like you shouldn't.
Oh my God.
I thought it through.
No, you didn't.
But I mean, you got it anyway, so well done, I guess. Keep watching Love Island, 9 p.m. every night on an ITV2. Ash, you're actually up next. Let's see if you can beat that fabulous score.
Number eight.
Okay. Complete the Kate Winslet film title, Blank Day, in which she plays a depressed single mother who helps a wounded escaped convict. This is admittedly the hardest question on the quiz, so apologies for that. Blank Day.
Farron Day?
Not a bad guess. It's actually Labour Day. Have Labour won the election?
Well, now you've strayed from the format, haven't you?
You can't. No.
No.
The politics theme is still here.
I thought it was names.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's not.
My blue connection still stands then.
Good for you. You stand by that. Oh, this one's written like the actual word. Seven.
I saw you didn't confuse it with the one.
Aw.
Name... This is stupid. Name the pop idol singer who was first to be voted off live shows in the first ever series, who had been outed in the press in the week leading up to his elimination.
Voted off first in the
first
ever series.
Voted off first in the
first
ever series of Top Idol.
I'm not gonna. I don't know it.
Here was me thinking it was Jessica Garlick.
I don't know this one.
Was it Rick Waller?
Corbyn. His name was Corbyn.
What was his surname? Was his surname Red for Labour?
Piss off. No, it was actually just, he didn't have a surname.
He didn't have
Corbyn.
A surname?
Yeah.
Oh.
Who does he think he is with no surname?
Well, I'm sure he thinks a lot of things now, 10 years later. Ash, you're still in the lead, so...
Unbelievably. Number three.
Oh my God, this is so stupid as well. Sorry. Which American singer-songwriter is responsible for singles including Cornflake Girl and Professional Widow and albums American Doll Posse, Midwinter Graces and Boys for Pele?
American?
She's an American singer-songwriter. She's very quirky.
Regina Spektor.
Oh, it's a good guess. Really, really similar vibe.
Imogen Heap.
I don't know. I was going to say Imogen Heap. She's like the next guest after.
If you kept guessing, you would get it, but also we've got homes to get to. It's actually Tori Amos.
Ah.
Not to be confused with the Tory party, who may or may not have won the election. We don't know, because it's only Thursday. Rachel, you're up. So
okay.
I'm sorry, I just threw the box at you.
Number one.
Which former Top Gear presenter fronted the BBC 4 documentary The Reassembler in 2016?
Oh, this could be a trick question. Was it James May?
It was James May, not to be confused with possible Prime Minister, possible ex-Prime Minister, Theresa May. We just don't know, because the election hasn't happened yet, here in this room. When you're listening to it, you know what's going down. All right, Ash, this is to stay in the game.
Number four.
Complete the Lindsay Lohan film, Blank Pains, in which she plays a woman who pretends to be pregnant to avoid being fired by her boss. Now, while Ash deliberates, let me tell you that I have seen Blank Pains, and it is hands down the worst film that I've ever seen. And usually I would defend Lindsay Lohan to the death. But this film is dreadful.
I want to call it Growing Pains.
Labour Pains.
It's Labour Pains! Not to be confused with the Labour Party, who may or may not have won the election. So, Rachel, congratulations. You win. That's some weak applause from me there. We're off to live the next 24 hours and find out how the election went. You already know, but we don't. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Laters!